Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh dwelling on earth. He came for us. When Jesus said, who kept the law perfectly, who's holy, said, man, your sins are forgiven you. It's because God was speaking to that man. And if that weren't enough, the Bible tells us that we as believers, when somebody accepts Christ Jesus, we as believers have the right and the authority to look upon them and say, your sins are forgiven you. Do you understand how radical that is? We don't. Most of us are Gentiles. We don't get it. But in Judaism?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at part of chapter 5, the section that features a number of events that support the messianic and divine status of Jesus of Nazareth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called It's Time to Get Up and Go.
We're caregivers. We listen. All the time we're listening, and then we're visiting you or friends in accidents and dying in the hospitals or dying at home. And you know what happens after a while? If you don't take a break, you get burned out. There's nothing worse than a nurse coming into your room, and she is on her 35th day of nursing. And she comes up, and she's got that latex stuff. What? Sit down! Have you ever had a nurse that's just like, listen, she started out earlier in the week, not so like that. Or the doctor comes in, oh man. Yeah, we need to cut. Let's get this guy going. I've been working 31 days straight. I want to go home. Come on. How would you like to hear that before they pull out the chainsaw? Or the pastor. You know when pastors, pastor, my marriage, what with your marriage? My marriage has been messed up. How long? 15 years. What am I going to do in 15 minutes? Time to take a break. Pastor, will you pray for me? Why don't you pray for yourself? God can hear you. Right? Or this one you hear, Pastor, do you have 20 bucks? If you have 50, I'll give you my 20. You get tired and then you get cynical and you get bitter. What do you need? You need a break. Jesus often went away. He was never like that. Don't get me wrong. He was never like us. He went away, though, to get charged by his Father, and he took a break and he prayed. Just because you take a vacation doesn't mean it's spiritually rejuvenating. It can be worse. But when you take a real vacation, take your Bible with you. And go get away and sit along the beach or climb that mountaintop if that's what excites you. And hear from God and be renewed. There's something about it that's just amazing. That's why, by the way, each day with the Lord keeps you renewed longer. Keeps you going longer, like that crazy little bunny with the drum. The Delco bunny battery or whatever it is. What is it? Whatever. Advertising's not working for me. What bunny is it? What rabbit is it? You guys are all confused. Nobody even, which one is it? Forget it. I'm getting all kinds of answers. So Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 concerning this, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you recreation. I'll renew you. You'll have rest. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Second point this morning is this, verses 17 to 20. And this second point is about as far as we'll get today. It's time to get up and go. The Lord's got a work for us to do because he's doing it and we get to enter into that. Look how this is done. The Lord's got a work to do, and he does it by his own power. Verse 17, now it happened on a certain day. Uh-oh, we know something's coming. Circle the word certain. Something's going to happen. As he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law. You ought to mark that, Pharisees and teachers of the law. That means there's always an exciting moment that's about to take place. And they're sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them all. When you look at this word now, it happened. And it happened on a certain day or an appointed day. This is that day that is ordained by God again. It is taking place at a time when, number one, you always find him doing this. You find Jesus teaching. He never sacrifices the teaching of the word to go do miracles. Oh, did you hear that? That almost sounds kind of cold. But Pastor, my daughter's 12 years old. She's sick. She's near unto death. Or, Pastor, I have this issue of blood for 12 years and... Jesus teaches. He's not cold. But things happen when the word of God's going out. He's teaching the word of God. He's speaking. And as he was teaching, and Jesus is always teaching this verse, that salvation, everything he did, everything he taught brought salvation to the front. It says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. This is the fun word, dunamis. Dunamis or dynamite is the word that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, that power came upon them. The Bible says that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit will come upon the believer, the word empowering us. And so if you notice this, we can run over it so quickly we miss it. It says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The original language is them. Some of your Bibles say him. That's not right. It's them. Well, you want to ask the question, who's them? It's interesting because it's not only those that are sick and those that need cleansing. The power of the Lord is present to heal those that are Pharisees and students of the law. The power of the Lord is present to touch all of them. That's who them are. But this wording is powerful. The thickness of the Spirit of God was there. You could sense it. You could discern the Lord's going to do something. Have you ever felt that before? Have you ever been somewhere that it's just either creepy, weird, like scary, or really great? One or the other. We used to scare each other to death when we were in high school. We used to go down to Long Beach, down there in Ocean Boulevard. There was an old abandoned 17-story building that was built in the early 1900s, and it was abandoned. And in the middle of the night, at midnight, we used to go up there, and you weren't allowed to have a flashlight. You could only use matches. And some staircases were broken away, and it was terrifying. Rats were in there. And why did we do it? Because we were teenagers. And it was so scary that when you walked in, you could kind of feel like, ugh. You know that feeling? Does anybody know that feeling? Yes. Well, put it in the good side, in the positive side. Jesus was there, and you could sense something's going to happen. It's the anticipation like before the game. You know kickoff is coming. And that's a very powerful feeling. You could discern it. Did these lawyers discern it? Lawyers of the word? Did these Pharisees discern it? No, they're going to miss it. Look at this. It's not only his power. It's done by his power, his wonderful work, but it's done to his glory. Verses 18 to 19. It says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. This is amazing. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in or get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the roof or the tiling and laid him in the midst of Jesus. So they bring the man on a bed. And this is fun because it's four guys. You got four guys. You have four friends like this and you're going to do just fine. These four guys, they get their buddy who's a complete paralytic. He can't move. And as they're bringing him, they're probably saying, you know what? Jesus is up here. We heard that he's up here. Come on. And they're bringing him on a stretcher. And they begin to break in and let the guy down. But what's beautiful about this is, as these guys do this, when you begin to think, the desire of these men to reach their friend for Jesus if they, the four of them, could just give him Jesus. See, his fame had gone everywhere. Everybody was talking about Jesus. Well, here's the catch. Does it say in your Bibles that this man who was messed up had great faith? It doesn't. His friends bring him, and they can't get him in any other way, so they let him down through this niche or through this break in the roof, and now he's in the presence of Jesus. And some of the Gospels, as you read this, did they break up the roof and there was dust falling in? What was this divine interruption? Jesus is teaching, and the roof begins to move and shake, and dust is falling. And then, can you imagine, here's a guy strapped to a stretcher that comes down through the roof. That had to be pretty cool. And Jesus, no doubt, he stops, and he begins to minister to this guy. Now check this out. These men who come, church, can I put it this way? These guys have more concern, more care for this man's soul than perhaps this man does for himself. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that guy should have just tried to get up and tried to move his way there. These men, if they could just bring this man to Jesus. Church, what about you? Have you been invited today? Has somebody said to you, maybe they're sitting next to you, just come to our church, just hear the Bible, just one time. Maybe they bribed you with breakfast this morning. If you just come, we'll get you breakfast. Well, church, keep this in mind. And those of you who are visiting, maybe you're that person today. Man, you know what, Pastor? I just came because they just wouldn't stop talking about coming here. Maybe because they love you. Maybe because they care. Maybe, listen, and I know that this is kind of hard to receive, but your friend who wants you here today, it has nothing to do with me or this building or the songs or anything. It's because they're hoping that something might happen in your life that's happened to them, and they can't leave it alone. You say, yeah, but Jack, I don't like Jesus freaks. You guys drive me nuts. Do you understand why we're freakish about Jesus? It has nothing to do with earning points or getting into some evangelist club. It has to do with you experiencing the joy that we have. Amen. And you might say, well, Jack, can't you guys just leave it to yourself? Honestly, we can't. And look, we've tried. You know what? We could just keep our mouths shut. But you know what? We know too much. We know that there's a heaven in the end or there's a hell in the end. And the road is going straight down that. I mean, you're heading straight down one of those two paths. And we can't leave it alone anymore. Yeah, but you guys always bug me. We're sorry that we bug you. We don't want to bug you. And don't worry, there'll be a day that God will tell us no more talking to them about it. Jack, no more. Don't tell them anymore. They're not going to listen. They think you're a freak, and they think this my book is a story. And they listen to History Channel and ABC News and Peter Jennings about what my theology is. Just leave them alone. Don't pray for them anymore. That day's coming. God says, my spirit will not always put up with man. But let me tell you something right now while you're able to maybe hear. Your friend has been a fool to get you here, did everything they could. They've been a fool for Jesus. It's because they care about your destination more than you do. They care about your soul more than you do. They want you to know what it's like to know Jesus Christ personally, not through religion. There's a big difference. And they will gladly be called a fool by you, that you might, maybe, receive the everlasting love of God. And this is such an important thing. Because you know what? Don't worry. We're not going to walk into some place and blow ourselves up to make our point. But we will look like an idiot. And when you say, get out of my face, Jack, you make me sick. I just might call you again next week and say, will you come one more time? Will you just come just one time? I think that's one of the reasons why we're having such huge success with the podcasting and the radio. Is because people, you can say to your neighbor, just tune in to this channel or at this time. Or just go to podcasting and listen. And that's the church I go to. You don't have to come. Just listen. Tell me what you think. I'm doing this to my neighbors, personally. Hey, we just did this packet on Jonah. Can you listen to it and tell me, give me feedback? because I'm not joking. I've told, will you listen to Jonah, this packet on the book of Jonah? And then I'd like to know from your perspective what you think. What could we? It's because we love you. And you know what? If we have to break up a roof and let you down in the ceiling in front of Jesus, we'll do that too. We just care. And we'll end here at verse 20. The Lord's got a work to do, and it's done through his purposes. When he saw their faith, that's the four guys, he said to him, who? The man crippled. And I love this. Man, you can see Jesus look at him. Man, your sins are forgiven you. No doubt Jesus looked at him and said, man, your sins are forgiven you. But I also hear it like, man, your sins are forgiven you. Because listen, you'll see next week that the legal guys who are sitting there judging everything, what's he doing? You know those guys, the Pharisees and the Pharisees said, well, the whole lot of them all, scholars. What's he doing now? Oh, he looks like he's going to go over to that crippled guy. And Jesus says, man, your sins are forgiven you. They're going to go nuts. What? This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sin but God only? And you want to see this. Don't you want to see it? Jesus would be like, man, your sins are forgiven you. Notice Jesus didn't say, get up. The guy doesn't stand up and then he says, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus says to him, first things first, take care of the soul. Your sins are forgiven you. The Pharisees go crazy because nobody can do that but God only. And it would have been great for Jesus, in my opinion, if I was Spielberg, have Jesus turn back and say, that's right. Finally, you guys got it. Thank you very much. Nobody can forgive sin but God only. Yes, and your point is what? The Bible says that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh dwelling on earth. He came for us. When Jesus said, who kept the law perfectly, who's holy, said, man, your sins are forgiven you. It's because God was speaking to that man. And if that weren't enough, the Bible tells us that we as believers, when somebody accepts Christ Jesus, we as believers have the right and the authority to look upon them and say, your sins are forgiven you. Do you understand how radical that is? We don't. Most of us are Gentiles. We don't get it. But in Judaism, that's blasphemy. But when somebody comes to Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, in fact, for that matter, the Bible says if somebody rejects Christ, we can also say, your sins are still upon you. On what authority do you say that, Bible? Jesus, on what authority do you do this? The words of my Father, Bible. Wow. The key is, are they repenting? See, this man coming, Jesus who knows everything, this guy, watch, this guy's not laying in his little crib thing, all twisted up. And he's not laying there thinking, get me out of here. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't need any help. Get your hands off me. Dude, look at yourself. You're crippled. You can't even move. You can't even feed. I can. Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. You'd say, man, what a fool. That's like the leper walking down the street. He'd be having a bathing suit on. Hey, how's it going? All right. He's all white. I mean, really white. Man, you're a leper. Don't tell me what's wrong with you. Look. You say, man, this is nuts. See, the leper knew he was a leper, and this man knew he was crippled. You don't see them fighting. You see them, are you ready? Surrendering. Will you surrender? Lay it down. Oh, I got to win this fight. Oh, and what are you going to do after you win it? God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Your sins, though they be like scarlet, I will make them as white or like wool. We'll end here. Listen, scarlet. When's the last time? And when we were kids, we used to do this in the summer, but I haven't seen this done anymore. When you were younger, remember pomegranates? We had them down in San Diego, pomegranates. They're pretty weird-looking fruit. You cut that thing open, and brother, it is a mess. And in fact, if you've never done this with your kids, I personally highly recommend it because number one, it's a biblical fruit. It's found in the Bible. And they would stain clothing with pomegranate. Go buy a pomegranate and take your kids out in the backyard away from the concrete. Yeah. And anything, and put crummy clothes on them, or just take them to your neighbor's house. Anyway. Give them a pomegranate and watch what happens. You open that thing up and they'll start drinking it and sucking on it and chewing on the little seeds and all that stuff. And it tastes great. And it's very, very pretty. But your kid's face will be covered in red. It'd be stained red. Their clothes are ruined. Their fingers are completely red. They're covered. And it takes a few days for it to get completely off. God says, though you be like scarlet, stained with sin, I'll make you white like wool.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called It's Time to Get Up and Go, a study taken from Luke chapter 5 and verses 12 through 26. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more in this mini-series. Now, we want to remind you of Pastor Jack's recently aired series called How to Be a Christian While on Campus, and it's still available for your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio. How to Be a Christian While on Campus on CD or DVD. Visit realradioactive.org for more info. Also, we've been telling you about the final weekend of this month, a very important set of dates. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more.
Mike, thank you very much for that. And we are very excited. In fact, each year we have been getting more excited as we approach the return of the Lord. This prophecy conference is every year, as you can imagine, more and more relevant. In fact, so much so, I would like some of our listeners to hear from a couple of guys, Mike, that I hold in high regard. And one of them is Dr. Ed Heinsohn of Liberty University. And Dr. Ed Heinsohn said regarding this conference, and I quote, "The Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is the most practical and well-attended conference on biblical prophecy on the West Coast of America." That's a great thing for him to have said. And then our own beloved Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, who said, quote, "This conference is needed on a national scale." Well, the great thing about this conference is that speakers do come in, not only nationally for this event, but even internationally. And some of these speakers, for example, Waleed Shubat will be with us. General Jerry Boykin, one of the founders of the Delta Force, will be here. Dr. David Hawking, Congressman Bob McEwen, Pastor Greg Laurie, and Jay Smith will be making his way all the way from London to speak to us. It's going to be a great conference, and those dates are Friday. That is going to be February 26th at 7 o'clock in the evening. We kick it off. And then Saturday, the doors open again at 9 a.m., and then on Sunday morning, General Boykin will address the church here for all three services, February 28th, that's 7:30, 9:30, and 11:30 a.m. Mike, it's a conference that really people have set as number one on their priority as conferences go. We've had visitors come each year as far away as New York and Canada for this conference, so we're very excited.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. Once again, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.